to the Radio Life Sciences Podcast for a behind-the-scenes look into GSLS, made by students and educators for the scientists of tomorrow. Welcome back, everyone, at this next episode of Radio Life Sciences. And this is one, a follow-up episode, actually, because we're here again with Gijs.
Hello.
Yeah, so we're doing the third episode in a row regarding your PhD journey. So I'm really happy today that I can interview you about this to see where you're standing now. So for our listeners, Gijs, can you shortly explain what your PhD is about?
Yeah, so my research topic is the spread of antimicrobial resistance genes on plasmids between one health domains in the Netherlands using the surveillance database from the RIVM for resistant bacteria. Looking into the historical data set to see how antimicrobial resistance has evolved.
Cool. And I've been told that you already submitted an article recently. Tell us about it.
I submitted it's a research letter, so it's not a full article, mm-hmm. But it's during the surveillance day, we found a first case of Salmonella carrying a novel resistance gene we hadn't seen on it yet, on a plasmid. So, they wanted someone to write it up and put the information out there because it is interesting and new. And since I am the PhD student working on antimicrobial resistance and plasmids, I put my hand up and said, can I do it, please? They left me, so it's submitted now, and we'll see.
Yeah, keeping your fingers crossed
exactly.
For the response.
Yeah.
And I remember from the last recording with Eveline that you were telling that writing was something you didn't look forward to that much. How was it to write an article?
Yeah, it was quite all right to do. It was relatively short, of course, that helped. It's also more a topic I'm much more into as compared to when I was writing during my master's projects, because then you do spend 6 or 9 months on one topic, so you get into it more. But now I've spent a year and a half on a topic already, so that's that is also helpful. I did not like the persnickety at the end where it's like, oh, this you have to use this particular spelling, and we want numbers above thousands with a decimal point or a comma, or you put a space, and all these journals have their very specific rules that you have to go through. That part was very annoying, but
yes.
For the rest it was actually not so bad.
Okay, good. So content wise it's nice to do, but all the typical editing stuff is something you don't like that much, but I can totally understand. Been there, done that. But really cool that you submitted one, and let's see what happens for the coming weeks, months to come. And you already touched upon it. So I think you're now 1.5 years in your PhD.
Yes.
You also talked about it with Eveline. How are you doing at this point in time? Are you still optimistic about your PhD or...
Yeah, no, I'm still
okay, good,
very
good.
Positive.
You still look happy to
yes.
me. So,
it's I think it's going really nicely. I recently again presented at a conference some of the work I've been doing, and got a lot of positive feedback from that. Some good ideas on how to further develop parts of my research, and it's heading in a really good direction. More concrete than I think the last time I talked, but so that
cool.
is a good feeling.
Yeah, that's really nice, and it's nice to share your work with others, and getting extra enthusiasm from them.
Exactly.
That's probably very motivating to do your work.
Yes. No, very much so. Because it's you're talking about it with the same people constantly. So it's also having people from outside of that group also coming at you with, oh, this looks really nice what you did. Could we use it for X, Y, or Z? Or how about if you thought about doing this thing? Of course, it feels nice to be validated in that way, I guess.
Are there any collaborations growing from those conferences that you meet people that you think like, oh, I want to work with you for the next steps, maybe?
Less so directly from the conferences at this point. Well, I talk to people, and I'm hoping to get some more out of that over time. But that's more nothing really concrete has come out of that. More so, I do have, for example, a collaboration project with the Hogeschool Utrecht. So there I do try to collaborate with people. Yeah, if they have something that is a we can both benefit from.
Yeah.
I think it's it's nice to also spread the allow people to develop parts of my project that I may not necessarily have time for myself, or and to get people from that are working on different things, getting their perspective on what you're doing. It's they have a different way of looking at it, and they always come up with stuff that you haven't necessarily directly come up with yourself.
So you can share expertise and also, collaborate on that.
Exactly,
Because I guess that's one of the things that, at least for your PhD, is set up in a way that collaboration is a big thing, because you're working both at the REVM and UMC. Mm-hmm. So how's that going? Can you manage your time at both institutes well? Is it helpful for you to be like in two institutes, or is it sometimes also a challenge?
I really like it. It is relatively unique, even at the REVM, because the REVM is not a university, so we're all attached to some other university for our PhDs, of course. But that also is all kinds of universities. It's not just Utrecht. And people who are attached to either Groningen or Wageningen, they don't necessarily go as frequently. I do go. I am here very often, at least weekly. It's also for me because the expertises of my two co-promoters are fairly different. So they're both helpful to my project, but from different sides, where one promoter at the RVM is more of a molecular biologist, whereas the co-promoter at the UMCU is a bioinformatician. So it's two different kinds of support. And I like the different environments of the UMCU and the RVM. It's I really enjoy being able to experience both and talk to such a... people. I talk to many more people doing many more different things because of it. And that's something I really like. Whether that's necessarily always useful for my project, I don't know, but at least it's it's a fun experience in that sense.
I think that's most important, that you also have a lot of fun during your work. But can you explain a bit more what's the difference then between the two environments? Because you say you like it, but is it the atmosphere in the groups, or are they just working in a different way?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both of that. Mm-hmm. It's also because of the department that I am at the RVM. Until 2 months ago, I was the only PhD student there. So you're much more working with... the people there are much more doing the daily surveillance activities and a lot more of the lab work. Whereas here at the UMCU, I'm with... I'm in an office with only other PhD students. And it's more people that are more directly doing... they're doing very different things, but they're doing also doing research, so you get that sort of connection. Whereas at the RVM, they're all working on resistant bacteria, so we're doing much more the same thing, but I am the only PhD student, so it's a different kind of a connection in that way. And I really enjoy both. It's nice that I get to experience both.
Sounds like a good and fruitful combination as well.
Yeah.
What I was also wondering, because the two institutes that you work for, so the UMC, it's a hospital, so main focus is on patients and improving their health. And the REVM is also looking at a societal aspect from a governmental view. And
public health.
Public health. How is that working out for you? Because I can imagine your topic is related, of course, to public health. But being in like the bioinformatics side of it... how do you see the societal relevance of your work and what can I, let's say, benefit from it?
Well, right now it's more, especially compared to what my coworkers at the RVM are doing, is far more removed from public health because it's research based, and they're actually doing the public health surveillance activities, so they have a much more direct impact. But I hope over time my research would have some impact in this. Plasmids do have a big role in the spread of antimicrobial resistance, but how much exactly and how much they are shared between humans, animals, and the environment is much more of an open question. And with this data set, hopefully we can at least answer some aspects of that, and hopefully, get see the benefits, and hopefully being able to have more targeted strategies in reducing the spread of antimicrobial resistance. that's the ultimate goal of my research. Because if it turns out that, for example, there is a little spread between the animals and humans, then you need to handle your how you prescribe antibiotics to farm animals and humans in different ways. And if it turns out they share a lot of resistance between them. So that's the impact that hopefully would be felt after my PhD.
Yeah, but it will take a couple of years for things to figure out what's going on exactly.
Yes, and of course I'm not the only one working on this.
No, I can imagine it's too big of a topic to just work on for one PhD. But yeah, I can imagine it's nice to work on a topic which ultimately can. Yeah, have an effect on public health as well.
And yeah. It's one of the reasons I wanted to do this this project. I find the public health aspect very interesting. Of course, it feels a little more abstract because the ultimate goal of what I find is that then you can come up with more targeted strategies to do this thing. But we do need to know what happens if we're ever going to come up with any kind of effective strategy. So it is still. It should still have an actual impact. Down the line.
Yeah, and I can imagine you were telling that your colleagues at the RUVM are working on the database itself and like interpreting the data, I guess, directly, more on an operational level.
Yeah, and as it comes in.
Yeah.
This is also how hospital outbreaks, for example, are detected through the surveillance activity.
Yeah, so they have a very direct effect on what's happening in society and public health. How do they see you as a researcher? Are they happy to have someone who's like digging into the more details and the background of what's happening?
I think so. None of them have told me that they don't want me there, at least. Good. So that's a good thing. Yeah. I think. I don't know for I haven't asked anybody personally, but I know at least for some people, particularly of course my co-promoter, my daily supervisor at the RIVM, this data has been there for years, and they look in the real time to do the outbreak detection, but they didn't have the capacity to look back and the historical data. Some capacity for that, of course, but not a whole lot. And if I remember right, he tried to get what ultimately became my project. He tried to get that funded a couple times before he finally got the money to hire a PhD student for it. So there's excitement in that somebody's finally checking out this historical data. Now with the new PhD student starting as well, that there's finally this data isn't just on a shelf sitting there collecting dust. Because it has to be something interesting in there. And it's nice that finally somebody gets to look at it.
I can imagine for them it also feels like it's a gold mine where you can
dig
around and find new stuff for which they didn't have the capacity or the time or the money to
exactly
do that,
because they have to keep going with everything, right? New isolates come in every day at the RIVM for them to be sequenced and checked and compared to see are these signs of new outbreaks, is this new kinds of resistances we're seeing, and that doesn't mean you always have time to go back and look at the previous 10 years but they want to
that's cool. Well, it's obvious you're a bit more behind the scenes now, but at the department you're working at, they are doing direct work for society, public health as well.
Yeah,
so there's a very close relation to it. So that's nice to hear. And also that it's an interdisciplinary working environment that's also related to the Graduate School of Life Sciences. So, maybe we did it well by choosing you as a PhD to tell your story, or it's just coincidence that it fits very well with the school as well. So that's nice. You also told me before we started the recording that you're now supervising a student.
Yes.
How is it?
Going really well. Obviously, as we talked before, and I don't want to say too, because it's still ongoing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't want to say too much about it now. But overall, it's been a very positive experience. Yeah. And it's it's also talking to other PhD students. That's not always guaranteed. I've been very lucky with that.
Yeah. I can imagine. And is it a student also from the graduate school?
Yes. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Then we will probably hear more about it in the next episode when you can tell all the details of how it went. Because I can imagine for now it's a bit weird to talk about it while it's still ongoing.
Yeah, and we still have to give him a grade and look at his paper and stuff. So let's keep this for next time.
Yeah, but it's nice that you like to do it. So that's at least good.
Yeah, I do think that's maybe something I can say. When I see a small difference between for myself compared to other PhD students, because I'm doing bioinformatics compared to people working in the lab, it's also much easier to get a student up and running because I don't have to show them where everything is in the lab. I don't have to show them how all the machines work. They know how their laptop works. They should know how to code if they're bioinformatics students, particularly master students. So it's, I think because of that, I'm also in an extra lucky position where it's very easy to get them going and get them to do stuff that is also very beneficial for me versus if someone if you're spending 2 weeks have to spend 2 weeks right on top of somebody to make sure they work in the lab safely and stuff, that is a lot more effort.
Yeah, I can imagine that's so the practical side of it is it's a little bit more easy because they exactly. know how to work with the data. And if you're in a lab, you have to first start pipetting and then learn everything. And
Or even if you know the basics, if you go to a new lab, you have to relearn how everything is, how it works in that lab. So there's always more of upfront investment that, at least from what I've seen, that you don't, I haven't seen with bioinformatics students. So far, at least.
And I can also imagine that the risk of like being in a lab and doing something wrong, or either your cells die or something like that, that can have a big influence on the progression of your research in that case.
Yeah, exactly. And they also can't kill my cells or something, right? It's I think having a bioinformatics internship is probably is like from what it looks like to me, it probably is easier than a wet lab internship supervision.
At least the starting starting point. Yeah, that's nice to know. Do you see that there are more students interested in this now compared to when you started, maybe? Because students are more familiar with the topic, maybe,
I think
nowadays?
When I started my master's here, it may have been the first year that the bioinformatics master's even existed, if not the year after that or something. It's not that old, is it?
No, I don't think so,
So people are interested in it more, also because I feel that this might be biased just in what I see around me as well, but with a lot of the lab work is also becoming more more data that you generate that is also nicer to be able to process yourself, at least. So there's more interest in learning at least some basic skills in R, but doing hardcore bioinformatics, I'm not sure if there's actually more interest in that, because a lot of people don't like the idea of sitting behind a computer all day, every day. I think that is a specific brand of people like myself who want to do.
I can imagine that's always a difficulty, but I also can imagine that we used to have like bioinformaticians that would analyze difficult sets of data, and that what you're pointing out, that nowadays it might be nice if you can do it yourself and at least get a grasp of the data instead of having someone else to process it. So
And not just that, right? Because if you do it yourself, it means you get to immediately work with your data. But if you have to go to a bioinformatician and ask them to do it for you, and then you have to wait for them to have the time to do it, and you have to, there's always some communication problems, because having somebody else analyze your data on a project they're not familiar with, it's hard to communicate exactly what you want from this analysis. And if you don't communicate it correctly, then the bioinformatician is going to do something how they interpret it, which may not be what you want. So there's a lot more time spent in the going the back and forth before you finally have all your analysis, whereas if you just do some of it yourself, it's there and you can go. So I think that's part of the motivation for people.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. Maybe one final question for now. In the first episode, together with Lisa and Harold, you discussed also about what is the plan of your PhD, and then it was also mentioned like plans never work out. It always gets shifted in one way or another.
Yes.
How is your plan going?
Oh, it shifted. because some things went faster and easier than I thought they would, and some things get put in the back burner because those things that are faster and easier suddenly get also more attention. So it, yeah, the plans shift. That's what happens to everybody with the PhD. But it's not a bad thing, I think, either. I think it is good to sit down in the beginning and have some notion of what is this project and where do I want to take it. But yeah, ultimately you want to look into the things you find that are interesting. That makes perfect sense, and I think people should do that. But then that does mean deviating from your plan, because you're not going to predict all the interesting things you're going to find over the next 4 years.
That's true. You need some flexibility and
exactly
in order to do any innovational stuff, I guess. So it's nice to hear that you are looking at it in this way, I guess.
Yeah. And it's also helpful with, I personally am also very positive about my supervision. My two supervisors are very, positive and also like to think about, but they also see the interesting things that are found and also have ideas about what might be interesting to look into next. And then neither of them is super rigidly saying, no, but you said we would do this now. So you have to abandon this and go do, right? That's not there. Yeah. So that's, positive part.
Cool. So, positive supervision and positive creative thinking minds, that helps a lot.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I can imagine if you have a negative experience with your supervision, that must be really hard.
Yeah, it definitely is, I guess. There are always ways to speak to other people about it, but of course you want to prevent that something like that happens. And I guess we all wish everybody good supervision during their PhD.
Sometimes it's also out, but it's not necessarily that your supervisors are a bad business, but it can also be circumstance out of their control. They could get burned out and then suddenly your daily supervisor is gone, and that's not something that's also easily fixed necessarily. So it's not always within your control, but it does...
Life happens.
It does suck a lot, I think. Well, I assume I don't. My experience
let's
has
hope
been positive. So.
Let's hope it stays this way for you.
Exactly.
So you can have a very positive experience also in the coming years. Thank you guys for this another update of your PhD.
You're welcome.
I think you're still...
Thank you for still having me.
Yes, of course. We want to follow you till the end. So we're going to stick with you for some time. And I think it's very nice to hear that you're still very positive about it and you have lots of things to look forward to. So I hope our listeners get a positive vibe from this as well. And stay tuned for the next episodes. Thank you.
You're welcome. See you next time. Radio. Life science.